Breaking It Down with Frank McKay. This is 1039 LI News Radio.
I'd like to welcome everyone to Breaking It Down. Frank McKay here, and I want to welcome everyone back to our continuing series with Dr. Janet Smith Warfield. She's the author and radio show host and motivational speaker and so much more, world traveler, entrepreneur, renaissance woman, Dr. Janet Smith Warfield. How are you, Doc?
I'm doing fine. Well, thank you for that name, renaissance woman. I probably am in many ways, yeah, but nobody's ever called me that before.
Well, without question. And she's also the subject of a new documentary, and we'll let you know when that's ready to be seen and shown. And I think you'll see a fascinating view of a fascinating woman with a lot of depth. And the name of her radio show is Dancing with Words, Dancing with Wisdom. And the name of her book is Shift, Change Your Words, Change Your World. Again, Frank McKay here with Dr. Janet Smith Warfield. Let's kind of pick up where we left off last time. I mean, we touch on so much, but you were talking about the idea, and we got into a conversation about changing little things, and I guess that's what let me watch how I word this because you might correct me again. Shifting.
You're right. I might, but that's okay. We'll both learn from the process of the conversation. So go ahead.
Yeah. Well, shifting is what you're talking about. In essence, if you don't call it that, but you call it that in the book, but shifting, and that even means, well, if I just take this baby step and I get the dishes out of the sink, it will feel like I'm making progress. I mean, is it correct for me to assume that shift is a big concept? It's not just the word, it's not just the title, but it's a big concept in your life.
Oh, it's huge because it's the way we see the world. If I talked about this before, I don't remember. If you go back to Alfred Korzybski's statement, the map is not the territory, and I elaborate on that. The words are not the experience. The menu is not the food you eat. So we all are immersed. We're part of this sensory data that appears to be separate and apart from us and is, surround us. So we create maps of our own experiences, and the maps are the words. You can have a single experience, and let's assume there are just two people in this experience, and they're experiencing it from different perspectives. They are going to put totally different words on that experience. You think of, for example, a crime scene, even, where every witness has a different story to tell. These are the maps of the experience, and we fight over our maps instead of focusing on how we can share our experiences, share our perspectives as information, and then find ways of minimizing the pain that we all experience at some point in our life and aligning into co-creating a planet that works for all of us. But we need to understand what we're doing with words. And a single word may mean something totally different to you from what it means to me, because each one of us will connect that word with some experience in our own life. I mean, we were talking about this word should. And I said to you another time, stop shooting on yourself. But there are times when it's meaningful to use that word. I was thinking about that after we talked the last time. For example, taking the pilot of a plane, you have a choice, let's say, between flying in an airplane with a pilot who has 30 years of experience and training in flying a plane, or you have a choice of flying in a plane that's piloted by a five-year-old who has no training, no experience, is just playing around with dials. Well, you can say, I should fly in the plane that is piloted by the experienced pilot. And that statement has a lot of meaning, and it makes a lot of practical sense. If you want to live, that's what you're going to do.
Yeah, well,
it depends on the context of the conversation. If you are using the word should to try to beat yourself down and, you know, like standing over yourself with a whip, that's really what I was talking about when I was saying don't should on yourself.
Yeah. Well,
but if the should is giving practical, positive direction to your life, use it. Then it's, oh, this taking this action would serve me.
Right. Well, let me tell everyone who I should tell everyone who who is listening, who they're listening to, and that's Dr. Janet Smith Warfield. She's an author and a radio show host. Dancing with Words, Dancing with Wisdom is the name of the radio show. Everyone, check that out. Frank McKay here with the author of Shift, Change Your Words, Change Your World. And I guess sometimes should works. I mean, that pilot that has 30 years of experience should be sober when he takes on that airplane.
There you go. There you go. Yes.
Right.
And you see, all this is about action choices and conduct choices and the kind of life one wants to live. Do you want to be safe, or do you want to put yourself into a position where you're very likely to get killed?
Yeah. Well, you know, another thought came to mind, and I'm paraphrasing Shakespeare here. Maybe you know the exact quote, but I think it was Shakespeare who said, a thing is neither good nor bad. It's thought that makes it so. So,
yes.
You know, a knife, is a knife a good thing? Well, a knife is a good thing if a surgeon is going to use that scalpel, that knife, to cut cancer. A cancerous tumor out of your body and save the patient from spread of cancer. Is the knife good if somebody picks it up and in anger, you know, kills their spouse or kills, you know, no, then it's a bad thing or whatever. But it's a thing is neither good nor bad. It's thought that makes it so. And I guess it's the same thing with certain words. And, you know, I mean, there are certain words that are, that are terrible, like the word hate is something that I try to keep my children from saying over the, like, I hate Brussels sprouts. Oh, no, you're not crazy about Brussels sprouts. We try to teach them when they were younger that hate is like, you want to burn a cross on somebody's lawn. That's hate. You know, not liking something or preferring one thing over another is not. And I think the point we were trying to get across is try to talk more positively. And it's very difficult to turn hate into a positive thing unless you're talking against hate, you know, like eliminating it.
Okay, let's just talk about that a little bit more. What if I hate lying?
Right.
What if I hate injustice? Now, it's important to notice the things that we hate, but then we can turn that around from I hate lying to I love truth and transparency, and I intend to be as truthful and as transparent as I possibly can. Or I, instead of I hate injustice, I love justice. And I am going to be fair and just as much as I'm able to be, both to myself and to the other people in my life.
Yeah, well said. Your thoughts on how those negative phrases that you get. I mean, is there a no-no list or a list of words that you would like to eliminate or that you eliminated from your own vocabulary? Is there anything that you said, okay, I'm going to write down these words, or I'm going to comprise a list of things that I just won't say anymore, words, vocabulary that I won't use anymore?
Well, I would be focusing more on the words that I will use rather than the words that I won't use. And yes, there are a lot of words that I would say I almost never use, but there are exceptions to every rule. So, I think I've had to learn the rules of whatever mental system I'm functioning in very well, because you don't know where you have to deviate from those rules or where you can safely break them unless you know how they function. Getting back to some of the things you were saying earlier, you're talking about the knife. Yes, it's a question of how it is used, and it's a question of the context within which it is being used. Knives are very useful for particular purposes, and they're very destructive when used for other purposes. So you have to think about what result do I intend? You know, how do I want to use this? How do I want to use it carefully so that it supports rather than harms?
Yeah.
And these are very deep and very different questions, and the answers are probably different for every person on this planet because each one of us is unique.
Yeah. No, it's you're right on, and I like the example you gave before about the jurors or the witnesses to a crime rather, and you know how they see it in such a different from a different perspective. Well, you know we have a different reality. I mean, we all do, so to speak. And again, Dr. Janet Smith Warfield is our very special guest, part of a continuing series. Binge listen to everything that we're doing here and listen to her radio show, Dancing with Words, Dancing with Wisdom. Frank McKay here with Dr. Janet Smith Warfield. Every once in a while, somebody will say, about a spouse or a significant other, I don't know what he sees in her, or I don't know what she sees in him, or I don't know how she could have married him or whatever. There's a couple of questions. First of all, that you could talk about. But if you could look at it from their perspective, you don't know many things. For example, you don't know that. What her options were or what his options were. You don't know what they were looking at. They were sizing up when they got into that relationship. What was the need of that individual? And again, I guess we can make a blanket statement. Well, you should be, looking for, the best-hearted person that you have, an intelligent person, someone that's going to be a good parent and a conscientious kids first, But we all have different realities of what or different opinions of what those priorities should be. So that's what I'm saying. Like, that's another case where I would think this comes up often, not just in a crime scene, but when we're judging somebody else's life choices.
Well, first of all, judging somebody else's choices is really that's not where I need to focus my own attention. I need to focus my attention on my own choices. Now, if I'm impacted by another person's conduct, yes, I have to protect myself against conduct that is going to harm me. Or if I feel aligned with another person's perspective or conduct, then yes, I can join in with them. But it is not my job to judge another person's conduct or another person's words.
Right.
It's my job, where I have power and control is over my own life. And I need to start making very conscious choices in each and every moment. And we all are always in a situation of choice. It doesn't matter what the externals are. We can say yes or no. I'm going to do it or I'm not going to do it.
Yeah. Right.
That's where the power lies.
Yeah. You mentioned power. We have the power to choose our words, to choose our actions. But, our words and our actions, I mean, how connected are they? And, you know, I guess in some ways it's a rhetorical question, but I'd love to hear your answer in that. How connected are our words and our actions? Sometimes we say much different things than we actually do.
Yeah, well, the words and actions are very connected. One thing that immediately comes to mind is the Buddhist Eightfold Path. Two of those paths are right words and right actions. So everything is interconnected, which is probably one reason why it's sometimes hard to figure it out. But there are some tools you can use, and these are methodologies only. Nobody has to use them or should use them, but they may be useful and helpful. There are a lot of methodologies that you can use to start getting clear about why you're here on the planet and what your gifts are and what you have to offer to world. I think of something I read years and years and years ago, which was, it was a German author, but I don't remember the name. Take the world, it's something about, I'm paraphrasing, take the world as you find it, but don't leave it so. So each one of us,
Goethe?
It might be. It could be. I don't recall. But some of the tools that each person, each individual who wants to do this can use are, for example, you keep your head primarily in the present moment. You ask yourself, what can I do right here, right now, to make a difference, first of all, in my own life, and then once you get your own life in order, you can start making a difference in other people's lives as well. And you do that by supporting them through whatever challenge they are struggling with. And it doesn't mean you don't think in terms of past and future. Of course, you can. But we're, as I said before, the present is your point of personal power. So you are focused on stepping into your own full power and potential. And when you do that, you live in a world of abundance where whatever you have overflows to nurture and nourish other people. I mean, I think I've talked about other methodologies. You can do vision boards, you can do journaling, you can do meditation, you can do yoga, you can do Tai Chi. There's so many methodologies out there to support you on your own, let's call it a life path rather than a spiritual path, because that word spiritual upsets some people. You can call it a life purpose path. You can call it getting to know yourself, which were words written on the Temple of Delphi in Greece. I think Socrates may have used those words, know thyself. I don't know what else to say. I mean, there's so much here that is possible. And I'm just playing with words now. But the words, I think it's Buddhism that says the words are fingers pointing at the moon. They are not the moon. So we can use words to support ourselves and to support one another. But the actual experience, this gets back to Korzybski, the actual experience is very unique and individual to each and every one of us, which is why we can't sit in judgment on one another. We can't get into that self-righteousness of I'm right and you're wrong. It doesn't work.
Listen, wonderful as always, the author of Shift, Change Your Words, Change Your World, and the host of the radio show, wonderful radio show called Dancing with Words, Dancing with Wisdom. Dr. Janet Smith-Warfield has been our very special guest, part of a continuing series. Binge listen to everything, and we will let you know when the documentary is ready to be viewed, and I think you'll all love that. Frank McKay here. Doc, thank you very much.
You are very welcome, as always. It's been a pleasure, Frank.
Well, same here. And to all of you, thank you for listening in. Binge listen to everything that we've been doing. Dr. Janet Smith-Warfield has been our very special guest. Frank McKay signing off. We'll see you all next time on Breaking It Down.